And a couple of weeks ago, we started this series called Rapture Ready. There's going to come a point in time, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, the Lord's going to come back and he's going to take his church. And we need to be thinking about that. We need to be ready for that. And we talked about that. Pastor Kevin did a great job last week talking about that. And we want to continue to talk about how do you and I prepare ourselves for the Lord's return? Or that we go to meet him before he comes back for all of us. I love what John the Baptist says. Now, by the way, John the Baptist didn't attend First Baptist. So for those of you who have a Baptist background, John the Baptist is not a Baptist. He was one who baptized so many people that they named him John the Baptist. I hope that doesn't ruin your theology, but that's like the truth. Here's what John did. He said, I want you to be baptized to symbolically show and demonstrate your repentance. And John says it this way, and I love what John says here. So John the Baptist is in the book of John. John the Baptist is not John the disciple. Do y'all know all that? Of course you do. This was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? Wow, what a great question. Who are you? He came right out and said, I'm not the Messiah. Well, then who are you? They asked. Are you Elijah? No. He replied, are you the prophet we are expecting? No. Then who are you? We need an answer for those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself? John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming. How important is it for you to know who you are? John the Baptist didn't pretend to be someone famous like the prophets he was being compared to. The easy answer for all of us is not to talk about who we are. It's easier to say, hey, this is what I do. Hey, I'm a student at this school. Hey, I'm going to college. Hey, I work at Walmart. Hey, I do this. Hey, I do that. And we give worth to somebody because of what they do. Forget who they are. And this week I went to the dentist, and on the door it says, if you're 15 minutes late, we'll reschedule you. I'm like, wow, I was early. And so I said, hey, I'm here early for my appointment, and apparently the doctor's time is very important, and I said, and so is mine. I said, I have the same education as he does, so I'm here on time, and if he's not here on time, we're going to reduce my payment. And she said, well, the doctor's in a meeting. I said, that's fine, I'm a doctor as well. And my time is also valuable. So if we're going to put a sign on the door that says, if you're late, I'm going to reschedule, I'm just going to inform you if he's not ready, I'm going to not pay as much. And she said, well, we've never heard that before. Let me go tell him. I have four new holes in my jaw. But, you know, why is it that somebody like, okay, you're that important? You know what's really important? Figuring out who you are in the Lord. That matters more than anything that you do. Who are you? John says, I'm a voice in the wilderness. In dark times, John says, I've got something to say. I'm a voice in the wilderness. I'm a voice when there seems like there is no voice and the tyranny of the Roman government, all of this is hard. I'm a voice. I know who I am. And I have something to say. Clear the way, for the Lord is coming. He knew who he was, and he knew the plan for his life. And this is where so many people get tripped up. They don't really know who they are because they're trying to be something that God never intended them to be. And whatever occupation you have, it's wonderful. It's not about your occupation. It's about your life. It's about who you are. John goes on to say, John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you do not recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. John not only knew who he was, he knew his place. John said, I'm not the CEO of my life. God is. He was there to promote the Savior. You know, just about every Sunday, right down here, I kind of put a little cross. And almost every Sunday I look at that and I say, Jim, that's who you are. You're a little cross representing that big cross. And don't ever think you're the big cross, because you're not. You're the little cross. But the little cross gets to point people to the big cross. And that has given me purpose in my life. That has given me substance in my life. And if you want to be rapture ready, you've got to know who you are. And if you know who you are, it means you also know who you're not. I talked to somebody a week and a half ago, and he's a prominent businessman in our community. And he said, hey, congratulations on your retirement. I said, well, you're a couple years older than me. When are you going to retire? He said, I'm not. I said, what do you mean you're not? He said, I don't have the things like you have. If I retired, I would have nothing to do. And I thought about that. And he said, I plan to work until I'm done. And I thought, oh, man. He's built a very good business in our community. He's pretty wealthy, and he has no purpose because his life has been about acquiring for self, not acquiring to the point that we can be a blessing for the kingdom of God. The biggest blessings in my life are not the things that I have, it's the things that I've been able to give. And especially for our younger people, think about what you want in life. Do you want to build a career or do you want to build a life? You can do both. But your foundation has to continue to stay strong as you become more influential and affluent. John the Baptist, I mean, he had it. John knew his place. He was here to point people in the direction of Jesus. That's purpose. That, I believe, unapologetically, is the most important job on the planet. And that's a job for everyone who calls himself a Christ follower. John goes on the next day, and I love this. He didn't hold on to what his disciples that he had. Listen to what it says. It's so beautiful. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus walked by. John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked. He didn't say, whom do you seek? He said, what do you want? This is the most important question we can ever answer. What do you want? What do you want? I talked to someone this week and they said, you know what money's for? In my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, to survive and to do the things of the Lord. And they said, no. The sole purpose of money is to make more money. I kind of thought about that. I thought, well, then what if you make more money? And then what if you make more money than you could ever spend? Then what? What? They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "teacher, where are you staying?" Jesus says, "Come and see." It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. So they ask a question related to Jesus' question. He says, "Hey, what do you want?" And then this is an interesting couple of words. In the Old King James, it says, "Where dwellest thou?" In other words, if you were to understand this in the original Greek, it's not, "Where are you staying?" It's more of, "Hey, what sphere do you cling to? Where is it that you dwell?" In other words, it's not just, "Hey, where are you spending the night tonight?" It's like, what makes you go? And Jesus says, "Follow me, and I'll let you see what is the place where I dwell." Jesus wanted to show them where he really did live. And where did Jesus live? Right smack dab in the perfect will of God Almighty. It goes on, and so Andrew was one of those of John's disciples who followed Jesus. It doesn't really say who the other one is. Perhaps it was John, the very author of the book that we're reading. Nobody really knows. The next verse is, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. And Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and there he found Philip, and he said, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethesda, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Andrew probably never worked a better day in his entire life. If you were to flip forward and look at the book of Acts, Peter does incredible things. He leads 3,000 people to Christ, but would it have happened from an earthly sense if Andrew would not have cared enough about his brother to bring him to the Lord? Being rapture ready isn't just about you getting filled with Christ. It's about you getting filled with Christ to the point that it impacts others. You know what Hunter didn't mention? At this movement conference, there was one of the speakers. And when the speaker was talking, and he was talking about how he accepted the Lord, and I thought, wait a minute. I think I can put two and two together here. And I asked Hunter, go ask him if he accepted the Lord in Tahunga during this time. And Hunter did. And you know who led our speaker to the Lord? It was Hunter's grandfather. So Hunter's grandfather led somebody to the Lord who was a young man. That young man became our speaker and was ministering to the grandson of the one who led him to the Lord. But can we be honest? Isn't it easy just to be so busy with making a living and doing all the things you want to do that you forget other people need to know Jesus? Statistically, people who accept Christ in the first 2 years lead other people to Jesus Christ, and from after that, 98% of them never lead someone else to Jesus Christ. You want to be rapture ready? I want you to be. I want to be. Then we need to be understanding the great privilege of being found is now the greater privilege of becoming finders. You have a job. And it's to know Christ in such a way that it actually impacts the way you live. And then, God, is there an opportunity for me to share? And it's not always a big thing. Josh and I were riding a couple of weeks ago, and I saw some ladies coming away from, we were going by the cemetery. And just in my heart, I thought, just stop. Just stop and tell them that somebody cares. And so there at the cemetery, we just stopped on our bikes, and I just told them that I cared and that we care. And I asked, who are you here visiting? And it was her husband and then the daughter's dad. And I just said, I care. And I said, isn't it nice to know that we can, I don't remember my exact words, but we can see them again because of the gift Christ has given. And I said, I just want you all to know that somebody cares about you and acknowledges what you're doing today. And they thanked me. Well, that was it. But it's just being aware. It's being aware of those around us. They really do need the Lord. We can be a voice in the wilderness with something to say. You don't need a theological degree to be able to do that. What you need is just to know that Christ has touched you and changed your life. No matter what you do, no matter what your job, there's nothing more important than encouraging people in the walk of faith. There's nothing more important than that. So Philip, John says, I know who I am, I know who I'm not, I know my responsibility. Andrew meets Christ. Andrew goes and gets Peter. Peter meets Christ. Jesus says, hey, Philip, I want you to be one of my followers. The next verse, John 1:45, Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, we have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Okay, and this is a very important point because Philip basically tells where Jesus is from. Nazareth, exclaimed Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, Philip didn't argue with him. He said, come and see. Jesus is a big boy. Why don't you come meet him? And you'll never argue somebody in the kingdom of God. They'll watch how you live. Now, I'm not afraid to share my faith, and I'm not afraid to dialogue with somebody who disagrees with my faith. Okay. My biggest testimony in my life is not anything that I've done in school. It's that Christ changed my life. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you believe. My life was changed because of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Period. Who cares about school? Trust me, I went a lot of years. I think it made me dumber. You're not supposed to go amen. Thank you. But listen how Jesus is. I mean, Nathanael is just, he's just going to freak out. Like, this is when he meets omniscience. Like, Christ knew what happened. It's just awesome. As they approached, Jesus said, now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity. And Nathanael probably had his chest puffed out. I know where you're from. Nothing good can come from that side of the tracks. He says, how do you know about me? And then Jesus says, I can see you. Sure. No, under the fig tree. Before Philip found you. Okay. Now he has his attention. Because Christ is omniscient. And he saw him. Then Nathanael exclaimed, Rabbi, which means teacher, and that was a way that you would acknowledge somebody in Jesus' day. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Jesus asked him, do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this. What? I like Philip. Hey, I don't have time to argue. I know what happened in my life. Why don't you just come see? And then Jesus is plenty big enough to change the mind of somebody who doesn't think anything good can come from that side of the tracks. And when I read this, these are great examples of becoming found and then becoming a finder. John the Baptist, then Andrew, then Philip. In light of Christ's return, maybe even this morning, could we just be honest with ourselves and examine our hearts and say, when's the last time my heart broke for the lost? When's the last time I realized I am a voice in the wilderness? And I do have something to say because Christ is still alive. He's still on the throne. John the Baptist had a purpose. He didn't succumb to, yeah, I'm one of the prophets. He was huge. So I'm not even worthy. I'm not worthy to tie his shoe. Your purpose is not your job. We all need jobs. I totally get it. And I'm not speaking against anybody's job. But that's not your purpose in life. Your purpose in life is to be a follower of Christ, to have him the CEO of your life, and then just the best you can point people to Jesus. Maybe that's inviting somebody to hope. Maybe that's stopping when you see somebody hurting and just telling them that somebody cares. There's so many ways that we can be an example for Christ. Here's my last thought. I wrote this down. What are you looking for? Like, really? Oh, if I could just finish school. Oh, if I could just get married. Oh, if I could just find a job. Oh, if we could just have kids. Oh, if the kids would just move out. If I could just get this new thing. And then finally, when you get the new thing, there's a new thing to your new thing. All the world literally is going mad after health, wealth, and pleasure. None of that is bad. But Jesus cuts right to the core when he looks at two men and he says, what are you looking for? In a moment, we're going to receive communion. And communion is a beautiful time to become very authentic. To take a moment and reflect upon the sacrifice that has been given for you and me. It's humbling to me and humiliating that Christ loved me so much that he was punished to death that I might find life. It's humiliating to me because I'm a normal human and there are times where I think, oh, that would make me happy, or oh, that would make me happy, and oh my goodness, I would love that. And I'm just like everybody else. But what I want and what I encourage you to want is to take a moment and say, God, is there something in my life before you? God, is there something Am I letting one thing ruin a whole bunch of things? Am I rapture ready? God, am I at a place if somebody were to look at my life, would they say, now that's a follower of Jesus Christ? Look beyond the surface kind of stuff and truly, truly be found by Jesus. And what a ride. It can mean, I like what Kendra said. Sometimes it's just one step. One step. One step. We're all at a different level of faith. Some are way more mature than me and some are new in the faith. But we're just talking about one step. God, what can I do to get one step closer to you? So I'm going to pray, and just as a reminder, you don't have to be a member of Hope Church to receive communion, but the Bible talks about you have to be a member of Christ's church, and they wouldn't want to do this in an unworthy manner because it's a big deal. Let me read what the scripture says, then I'll have a stand and we'll pray together. Paul writes these words, "For I received from the Lord, which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body broken for you. As often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And friends, he is coming. He is absolutely coming again, and that's why we want to be rapture ready. Whether he comes today or we go meet him today, the principle is still the same. Not the when or the how, but are we ready for him? Let me pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that we see examples here of what it looks like to follow you. And when I examine my own heart, Lord, I think, gosh, Jim, step up, man. Take another step to follow Christ. Take another step. And Lord, maybe there's someone else who says, you know what, I can take another step. I can be a little more serious with my commitment to Christ. Maybe you would let me have the honor of praying for you today. Maybe you've never received Christ. Maybe you know that God is pushing you in a good way to accomplish more for the kingdom of heaven. And I would love to, as I pray for myself today, I would love to pray for you. Would you just look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, include me in that prayer? Yeah. Man, I love you all, Hope Church. Thank you. I mean, I'm honest with you. I wish I was better than I am. It's not about my badness, though, or your badness. It's about his goodness. And keep trying. Let's keep trying. Let's keep taking a step forward. Let's keep taking one step in front of the other for Christ's sake. Yeah, thanks for looking up at me. Let's pray. And as I pray for you, maybe say the same prayer for me. God, I thank you for these friends at Hope Church, really more family at Hope Church. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would, you know that thing inside of them and in me that you go, gosh, I just want to take another step. I want to be a follower. I want to have my priorities in line. I want to not only know who I am, I want to know my purpose. Maybe I need to take one more step in the direction you're calling. God, don't let us be idle. There's a wilderness that people are living in, and we have something to say. So God, I pray for these friends, Lord, bless them. Answer their prayers, Lord. Answer their prayers. Fill us with hope that comes from truly following you. And God, not only are we found, I pray this week you would enlist us to be finders. Not weird, but just authentically serving you. in wherever our jobs are, the blessings that you've given us, wherever those take us. Amen. So Pastor Kevin's in the back. If today you're like, man, my leg hurts, I don't want to get up and walk, he'll actually bring communion to you. So not the teenagers, you can get up. But I'm just saying, if you're holding kids or whatever, we'd love to do that. There's four stations for communion, two in the front, two in the back. And we just encourage you as they sing one more song to receive communion. And I just want to say, God bless you today. What an honor to be here to share God's word together. Amen. Let's receive communion.